Before I begin, I'd just like to state that I have no relationships to disclose. I've been sitting here wondering if I'm going to be tall enough to see over the podium, so I'm really relieved right now, actually. So that's great. I can see you all. You can see me. I'm here today to talk to you about a social ecological approach to understanding correlates of breast health among a sample of gender nonconforming sexual minority women in Toronto, Canada. I'm here on behalf of myself and my mentor, Dr. Carmen Logie. And I'm very pleased to be here, particularly presenting in the area of sexual minority women's health, as it's so important to me both professionally and personally. I'd like to acknowledge that the Canadian Institute of Health Research Social Research Centre in HIV Prevention for their generous support for this study, and as well the women who participated in the survey. And I have to also thank the presenters who have presented this morning and also today who have kind of already provided a lot of the context for what I'm going to talk to you about. So as most people in this room wouldn't be surprised, cancer is the leading cause of death among people in North America, and breast cancer is the most common form of cancer among both U.S. and Canadian women. There's evidence to suggest that sexual minority women experience increased prevalence and mortality related to breast cancer, and this has been posited to be related to both biological risk factors such as null parity or not having children, and behavior risk factors such as increased obesity, alcohol consumption, and smoking. And it's particularly alarming that this increased prevalence exists, given that there are also studies to suggest that sexual minority women engage less in preventive health behaviors, including mammography, breast health exams, and clinical breast exams. So studies that have talked about this finding contextualize the decreased use of services in terms of heteronormativity and heterosexism in healthcare, and particularly discuss stigma as a barrier to healthcare for women, both enacted actual discrimination of women and perceived stigma, and also kind of other structural issues around lack or limited knowledge and awareness of healthcare providers around sexual minority women's health, and which can translate into a lack or limited comfort, discussing health issues that are particularly relevant to sexual minority women. But the focus of this presentation is on a specific subsample of sexual minority women who are gender nonconforming. So, as the slide says, we're not all the same. Intersectionality is a critical social theory that I won't describe in depth, but applies well to this understanding health disparities for sexual minority women. And when women go to access healthcare services, they may be stigmatized based on their sexual orientation, but they may also face stigma and discrimination for other reasons, such as gender nonconformity, race, class, etc. Gender nonconformity stigma is associated with both increased mental distress and increased suicidality. And this is particularly suggested for men. Additionally, a social ecological approach envisions that there are complex associations between health disparities and social and structural environments. So whether or not women access preventive health services is not just based on individual factors or sociodemographics, but also some of those structural factors such as stigma and the healthcare environment. So the purpose of this study was to apply a social, ecological, and intersectionality approach to understanding associations between having had a clinical breast exam in the past 2 years and factors operating at various levels, including sociodemographic, health, interpersonal, interpersonal, community, and institutional structural factors. The study design was a cross-sectional internet-based survey. Inclusion criteria was women aged 18 years and older who self-identify as a woman who has sex with women, including bisexual, lesbian, queer, and other, and residing in the Greater Toronto area. For the purpose of this analysis, we look specifically at women who self-identify as gender non-conforming based on their response to the question, do people consider you masculine by looking at you, your mannerisms, and your appearance? Women who answered somewhat yes or definitely yes were considered gender non-conforming for the analysis. We collected data using a modified peer-driven approach. 10 research peer research assistants were hired. Those were women who identified as women who have sex with women of diverse ages, ethnicities, and sexual orientations. These women were responsible for sending an email to their peer networks that described the purpose of the study and included a link to complete the survey online. When clicking on the link, it would open an informed consent page and a 105-item, also very long, survey that took approximately 60 minutes to complete that looked at factors in all of the categories listed previously. Women received a $20 honorarium for survey completion if they provided their email address. The outcome variable of interest was having had a clinical breast exam in the past 2 years. And I'll describe the measures that we used in the various categories. It's not inclusive of all the measures we used in this study. If people would like more information, I'm happy to discuss that later. Cronbach's alphas presented are from the actual analysis. They range from adequate to pretty good. So for sociodemographic factors, we collected age, measured continuously, ethnicity, which was originally in 12 categories and later dichotomized to white and women of color. For sexual orientation, it was self-identified as lesbian, bisexual, queer, or other. For health factors, we looked at depression using the patient health questionnaire too. For interpersonal factors, we looked at self-esteem using a single item self-esteem question. And we also looked at STI knowledge, which was a true-false test, and as the score reflected the number of correct responses. For interpersonal factors, we looked at sexual risk practices using the Safer Sexual Behaviors Among Lesbian Women scale. For community factors, we looked at social support using the Multidimensional Scale of Perceived Social Support. And for institutional structural factors, we looked at whether or not a healthcare provider knows one's sexual orientation and perceived and enacted gender nonconformity stigma. So an example of a question of perceived gender nonconformity stigma was, how often have you felt that your masculine mannerisms and behavior hurt and embarrassed your family? And an example of enacted was, how often have you lost a job or career opportunity because of your masculine mannerisms or behavior? We conducted descriptive analyses, including mean standard deviations and frequencies, the Cronbach's alpha, which was depicted before. We also conducted bivariate analyses, including t-tests and chi-square tests, to determine correlates of having had a clinical breast exam in the past 2 years. And those correlates that were significant at p less than 0.1 or theoretically significant were included in a multivariate logistic regression informed by a social ecological framework. So this figure depicts the social ecological approach to understanding correlates of past 2 year clinical breast exams among gender nonconforming sexual minority women. So as you can just see, the measures that I discussed that we incorporated at the various levels are depicted, ranging from health and interpersonal factors to institutional and structural factors. So we had 91 women with complete data for analysis. The sample was predominantly white, highly educated, and self-identified as queer or lesbian. They had a mean age of approximately 31 years, and almost half had reported past 2 year clinical breast exam. So this busy slide depicts the predictors. I've shown just the significant or approaching significant predictors of having had a clinical breast exam in the past 2 years. So as you can see, I've also highlighted the factors operating at different levels. So for interpersonal factors, both self-esteem score and STI knowledge were associated with increased odds of having had a clinical breast exam in the past 2 years. For each unit increase in self-esteem score, women were more than two times as likely to have had a clinical breast exam. And perceived gender nonconformity stigma was associated with approximately a 30% decrease in reporting having had a clinical breast exam in the past 2 years. I also would like to highlight the two that were not significant, but less than 0.1, sexual risk scale score and healthcare provider knowing one's sexual orientation. And I think put together, these results kind of highlight that different factors operate at different levels to either increase or decrease the odds of accessing preventive health services and specifically clinical breast exams for women. Before I talk about the implications, some of the limitations include that this is a cross-sectional survey, so we can't infer causation. It's also potentially not a generalizable sample based on the education and ethnicities, although we tried to find a representative sample. However, the major strength of this study is that it begins to inform a conceptual understanding that multiple factors are at play in terms of affecting women's accessing of preventive health services, and points to the idea that multi-level interventions may be necessary to impact preventive health behaviors among diverse sexual minority women. And I think the most interesting finding for me actually is that we also measured sexual stigma, which I didn't discuss previously, as it wasn't a significant predictor in the bivariate analyses. So we looked at gender nonconformity stigma, which points to the idea that stigma reduction efforts need to address not just sexual stigma, but also gender nonconformity stigma. And it would have been amazing if we had measured racism as well. So we need to address stigma at multiple levels and also multiple types of stigma. Okay, I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
So thanks to all of our panelists. We have lots of time for lots of questions, so let them rip. Let's hear them. Yes.
So just to sort of sum that up, he's pointing out the idea that I didn't sort of highlight our validity of the scale of the ABES, and partly acknowledging the limited sample size. And I'm sorry that Dr. Schick had to leave for her presentation that's starting really soon. But I am not sort of I'm more of a qualitative researcher in general, and so though they have been heavily validated, she sort of developed the scale previously and did validation with bisexual identified individuals, and then even though this is only 80, she was able to run all those sort of Cronbach's alpha and everything. I just didn't, for the sake of time in this presentation, and also for the sake of, like, I didn't run the analyses, that sort of all of those items did hang together well, and they were sort of valid for the limited number of sort of racially diverse respondents that we had. But thank you for pointing that out. You're right.